KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, a few sprinkles or light rain in Atlantic, and it's 36 degrees. We look for light rain today with a high of 57. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In local news, numerous matters pertaining to the Schulberg Quarry recreational area, that is, will be discussed during this evening's meeting of the Atlantic Parks and Recreation Board. The board will discuss and or act on a bike trail easement, the summer recreation program with the Nishna Valley YMCA, and campground phase one project, along with related fundraising. They'll also discuss the results of a meeting with skate park representatives. The Parks and Rec Board meeting takes place at City Hall here in Atlantic beginning at 5:15 p.m. News time is 8:01.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Ricky, what in the world are you doing?
Crystal, I'm getting ready for tailgate season by combining two of America's pastimes, country music and football. I just wish there was a way I could conveniently take my TV with me while tailgating.
I can't help you with your singing, but I do have a solution for your TV issue. With Dish Network's Tailgater, a portable, fully automatic HD antenna which allows you to be watching the pregame show within minutes of pulling into the parking lot, with no alignment necessary. All you need is the Tailgater with the appropriate receiver, and you will be the go-to person for all the highlights on game day.
That's exactly what I need, so I'll be the man on game day.
Now, Ricky, there's only one place this season to get a Dish Network for your home and the Tailgater for your RV. At the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer, 907 East 7th Street, Atlantic, or call 243-3032 or check us out on Facebook.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
In Western Iowa news, evaluations are underway into how the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers handled the summer-long flooding of the Missouri River. The Corps has hired an independent panel to review its actions, and Congress may launch a review, and the governors of states in the River Basin want a review as well. Brigadier General John McMahon, commander of the Corps' Northwest Division, says many eyes will be surveying their actions.
All these assessments will come together and formulate the basis of what I'm calling a comprehensive restoration plan that will be sort of a menu of things we could do and should do, given time and resources, both near and long term.
The flooding started back in the spring and resulted in many tens of millions of dollars damage to homes, businesses, farmland, roads, bridges, and more. McMahon says a host of local, state, and federal agencies are setting reviews in motion.
So there's a lot of accountability that I guess will result from all this. And we're just going to keep our heads down and continue the mission until it's all done.
The general is pledging to cooperate with all of the entities reviewing the Corps' actions.
We really don't have anything to hide here. This is all about being accountable and doing the best we can under these very trying and unprecedented conditions. And we'll play our role as dictated by whatever comes.
The Corps released record amounts of water from upstream dams and reservoirs on the Missouri after record rains and snow melt in the Rockies. As for the money it'll take to make repairs to levees along the Missouri River, which were damaged by the summer's flood, McMahon realizes there are many other natural disasters that are in line for federal funds.
We have the event in the Mississippi. We have Hurricane Irene and Joplin tornadoes in Alabama. We have many natural disasters through the course of this year, 2011, and there's many demands on the system.
Still, McMahon says he does expect the Corps to receive all the funding needed to fully restore Missouri River levees. He notes there's a lot of work to be done in a short period of time to ensure the widespread flooding of this year doesn't strike again next spring. Governors and senior aides from seven Missouri River states will meet again in Omaha to tackle flood-related concerns. Nebraska Governor Dave Heineman will host the group today. The private meeting will also include Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, North Dakota Governor Jack Dalrymple, South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard, and senior staff for Wyoming Governor Matt Mead. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon will join in by phone and send a senior staff member to Omaha for the meeting. The governors will receive an update from the Corps of Engineers on how they will be changing their operation plan for next year to help prevent the extreme flooding experienced this year. FEMA representatives will be outlining emergency preparations. A news conference will follow that meeting. The first gathering was held in August. At least three school district boards of education will meet this evening here in the KJAN listening area. At 5:30 p.m., the Griswold School Board will hear an update on the district's improvement projects and discuss the results of last month's public ballot measure. The board will also discuss and act on a special education deficit, redistricting board of director districts, and guidance on donations. Their meeting takes place in the central office boardroom. At 7, the CAM Community School District's Board of Education will meet at the high school in Oneida. Among their discussion and action items are those pertaining to fitness equipment, an energy audit, the bleacher project, wellness center, school property, and approval of the Washington, D.C. trip. And the Elkhorn-Kimbleton School Board will meet tonight at 7 o'clock at the Family and Consumer Science Room at the high school in Elkhorn. They locked on approving a third-grade teaching contract with Rachel King and requesting allowable growth and supplemental aid for a negative special education balance from 2010-2011, along with approval of a special education contract with Ogden and early graduation requests. In news from over the weekend, a tip to authorities led to the arrest in Shenandoah Friday of one person on drug charges. Authorities say a search executed by a canine unit at 610 Northwest Road, number 42 in Shenandoah, resulted in the recovery of marijuana and drug paraphernalia. Officials say 34-year-old Rayanne Huntley was taken into custody on possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia charges. Huntley was being held over the weekend in the Page County Jail on $5,000 bond. The FBI announced on Saturday that they're seeking a suspect in the robberies of two Council Bluffs Bank branches. A statement from the FBI says a man held up two People's National Bank locations within a 15-minute period on Friday. At both bank branches, the FBI said the man had displayed a weapon. They say he is to be considered armed and dangerous, and if you have any information on his location, you can call the FBI's Omaha, Nebraska office at 402-493-8688 or Council Bluffs Police at 712-328-4727. There's a picture of the suspect from surveillance video taken at one of the banks on our website along with his story at KJAN.com. Click on the news tab and scroll on down through the stories to take a look at that picture. Attorneys for a Nebraska woman charged with shooting a man in her western Iowa home in 2001 have asked a judge to throw out the case. The judge overseeing the case against 45-year-old Tracy Richter Roberts is weighing the request. Richter Roberts, who from Omaha, is charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of 20-year-old Dustin Weedy at her former home in Early, Iowa. She's pleaded not guilty. Trial is set for October 25th. Richter Roberts told police that Weedy and another man broke into the home and attacked her and that the shooting was in self-defense. No charges were filed at the time, but the investigation was reopened in 2009, and Richter Roberts was arrested in July. A man has died from injuries suffered in a collision between an ATV and a car at a Sioux City intersection. Police say 30-year-old Jonathan Flanders of Sioux City suffered head injuries in Saturday afternoon's crash and died Sunday at a hospital. Flanders was on the ATV. The driver of the car was identified as 51-year-old Tammy Sewelson, who was not hurt. Police say the car had the right-of-way. Sheriff's officials in Montgomery County report this morning that two people were injured on the pickups they were driving collided Sunday evening just north of Stanton. 39-year-old Robin Michelle Sanders of Corning was taken to the Montgomery County Memorial Hospital by Stanton Rescue, while 42-year-old Anthony James Clark of Red Oak was transported by private vehicle. The Sheriff's Department said Sanders was traveling east on Highway 34 and approaching the intersection with O Avenue, or County Road M63, at about the same time Clark was traveling south on O Avenue. Clark told authorities he stopped at the intersection, looked both ways, and thought it was clear. As he proceeded south, his 1999 Chevy 1500 pickup was hit in the middle of the intersection by a 2005 Chevy 1500 that was driven by Sanders. The accident happened around 5:45 p.m. Sunday. The truck driven by Sanders and registered to Greg Fortz of Corning sustained $8,000 damage, while Clark's truck was considered a total loss. Officials say Clark was cited for failing to yield upon entering a through highway. And a Nevada man was injured Sunday afternoon during a single-vehicle accident on Interstate 80 in Pottawatomie County. The Iowa State Patrol said 48-year-old Dwayne Morgan of Fallon, Nevada, was eastbound on I-80 near the Underwood exit when he lost control of his pickup. The 2001 Dodge Ram crossed the median and continued to cross the westbound lanes into a ditch where it hit several trees and traveled through a fence before coming to rest in a cornfield. Morgan was transported by Underwood Rescue to Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. That accident happened around 12:10 p.m. Sunday. Checking world headlines at this hour here on KJAN, President Obama shifts gears this week on his job creation message. With his big jobs bill defeated, he'll push Congress to get to work this week on passing individual pieces of the plan. He starts a three-day bus tour today through North Carolina and Virginia, which are two key re-election states. Egyptian officials say ousted President Hosni Mubarak's two sons put together quite a stash of cash. A senior Egyptian Justice Ministry official said the pair have an estimated $340 million in Swiss bank accounts. Switzerland has already frozen those assets, and Egypt is investigating. Canadian company Research in Motion is trying to make it up to customers after a major outage last week. The company, which is struggling to keep pace in the smartphone market, says it's giving customers some free premium apps and a month of technical support. A sick New Hampshire woman who's been working on the South Pole for a year has left Antarctica behind, finally. Renee Nicole Deshure told the Associated Press in an email today that she's landed in Christchurch, New Zealand, and is scheduled for tests tomorrow. She took ill in August, but weather prevented her from leaving. And a new poll finds that Israelis overwhelmingly support a lopsided prisoner swap in which a little over 1,000 Palestinian prisoners will be released for one captured soldier. Nearly 80% of those surveyed support the deal, under which Sergeant Gilad Shalit will be released by his Hamas captors tomorrow. News time is 8:11.
I'm so frustrated.
I have always had cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish Network. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions and just want to talk to a live person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish Network, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For a local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store. Store 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
In the funeral announcements, Mardell Hancock, age 83 of Waverly and formerly of Indianola, died October the 8th at her home in Waverly. A graveside service for Mardell Hancock will be this evening at 5 o'clock at the Memorial Garden Cemetery here in Atlantic. Stephen E. Madison, age 61 of Dubuque, died Thursday at the Findlay Hospital following a sudden illness. Graveside committal and veterans' rights for Steve E. Madison will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Mount Olivet Cemetery south of Dubuque. The Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory in Dubuque has the arrangements. James R. Larson, age 84 of Harlan, died Friday. Memorial services for James Larson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marvin Frank Musich, age 70 of Westphalia, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Marvin Musich will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Richard Eugene Williamson, age 42, of Loveland, Colorado, and formerly of Anita, died October the 8th in Loveland, Colorado. Graveside services for Richard Williamson will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has arrangements. Anne Marie Kwapuzeski, of age 96, of Harlan, and formerly of Panama, died Sunday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. A massive Christian burial service for Anne Marie Kwapuzeski will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dixie Dell Goodner, age 85 of Harlan, died October 12th in Wisconsin. A massive Christian burial service for Dixie Goodner will be Saturday at 10 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Orville Snyder, age 70 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospice Center. No services are planned for Orville Snyder. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Connie Jameson, age 58 of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Connie Jameson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Robert Pigsley, age 64 of Des Moines and formerly of Anita, died Sunday at his home. Services for Robert Pigsley are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home. There's more news available online at KJAN.com. Our news this hour brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.